Dear radio friends, the truth that we're going to look at from God's Word today is one of the most beautiful and comforting truths in all the Word of God. We Christians live in a world of uncertainty and opposition. There is political uncertainty. There's uncertainty caused by disease and natural disasters. There's uncertainty that springs up in our own minds and heart. We don't know the future and what it will hold for us, or for our children, or for the Church of God down the road. And the uncertainty is not limited to the future. Sometimes we have to deal with uncertainty in the present as well. Maybe you're going through a period of uncertainty in your life. Every trial that we go through brings uncertainty. And then besides the uncertainty, there is also opposition. There's opposition from the world to the church, an organized opposition that will culminate in the anti-Christian kingdom opposed to Christ and the church. And then there's also the opposition that each Christian deals with as he seeks to live the Christian life in this world. Opposition from neighbors, opposition in the workplace, and sometimes even opposition at home. And behind all this, we know, is the opposition of Satan, the enemy of God's people. And then also every true Christian is engaged in a battle with himself, with the remaining sin in his life and the desires that go against his faith. In this uncertainty and opposition, can the Christian be sure that he will persevere till the end of his life? That he won't succumb to the opposition? That he won't be overcome by the uncertainty? That he will be kept by God? The Word of God says that we can be sure. In Philippians 1 verse 6, our text for today, Paul says this to the believers at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In everyone who truly believes, God has begun a good work. Now, when we call something good, we can mean that it's morally good, or we can mean that it's good in the sense that it's useful, good in that it accomplishes what it was designed to do. If you say that you've had a good meal, you don't mean it's a morally, ethically good meal, but that it's nourishing, that it serves its purpose. And that's the idea of God's good work in you. God works in his people with a purpose, and that purpose is that they will live to serve him. Man's purpose is to glorify God. Then a man is good. Paul is not saying that God makes his people ethically perfect. No, God has begun a good work in them. What is that work? It's the work of salvation. Notice, Paul says that God does this in you. That's important. In salvation, there are things that God has done for you, and then there are things that God has done in you. What has God done for you? What has he done for his people? Well, there are many things that God has done for his people in their salvation. We can't list them all here. But the Bible tells us that in eternity past, God chose his people. He wrote their names in the book of life, and he gave them into the care of his Son. In time, the Son, Jesus, came into this world for us, and he took the weight of our sins upon himself. He paid the price of them for us in his death. And now, for us, he is risen and ascended. He rules all things for the sake of his church, and he prays for his people to God as our heavenly intercessor. These are all things that God has done for us. But in salvation, God also does something in us, inside of his people. He has begun a good work in you. What does God work in us? Basically, it consists of this, that God works in us by his Holy Spirit to give us the new life of Jesus Christ. We call this regeneration. Jesus describes it as being born again, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. In this work, God gives to us a new heart with new and different capacities. Our natural heart is sinful, and it is contrary to God. Our natural desires are to serve Satan and ourselves. By nature, we don't see our need of salvation and we don't want to change. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. But with this new heart, we understand our sin. We see our need of Jesus Christ. We embrace him by faith, not trusting ourselves, but putting our faith in what he has done for us. He calls us effectually by the gospel so that we don't only hear the words of the gospel, but in our hearts we receive and believe them. And then in us, God gives us a sense of forgiveness. He justifies us. As we embrace Christ by faith, we see that all the guilt of our sin has been laid on Jesus Christ and that he has made the payment for it. We see that God doesn't look on us in our sin, but that he looks on us as righteous in Christ. He accepts us and loves us and receives us. We are no longer hell-bound, but heaven-bound, because the guilt of our sin is laid on Jesus Christ. And then also with this new life in us, we begin to live in a way that's pleasing to God, that's morally good. God changes the inward man so that we begin to desire to be like him, to serve the purpose for which he has made us. Without this inward work of God, we did nothing that pleased him. In Romans 14 it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But now God has worked in us, not so that we become perfect in our works here on earth, but so that we begin to serve the purpose that he has for us. Everyone who is born again of the Spirit of God will desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. God will work that desire in us, and that will become evident then in our lives. And one very important truth that we see here is that salvation is all the work of God. God not only saves us by doing a work for us, but also by working in us. And that work in us, from its very beginning, is God's work. It's not the case that God has done something for man, and now he wants man to do his part. Man is not born again because he chooses to be born again, because he makes a choice for Jesus Christ. No, God begins this work in us, and the continuation of this work, all the way to its completion, when we finally come to heaven, is also God's work. Paul speaks not only of the beginning of this work in us in regeneration, but also the end of it in the day of Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, and everything in between, God works. He will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, God starts the work in the believer and he keeps it going till its very end. It's God that keeps us alive. In chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says, for it is God that worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. The doing and the willing, the desiring, is all of God in salvation. The truth that we're talking about here in this verse is the truth of the preservation of the saints. God will preserve and keep his people till the very end. Not one of those in whom a genuine work of grace has begun will ever perish or fall away. Every one of them will persevere through uncertainty and in the face of opposition till the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means this, that not only is regeneration God's work, but regeneration is an irreversible work of God. What God begins, he finishes. One who is saved will never perish. A true believer will never lose his faith. One who is alive in Christ now will live forever in glory. If Christ is with you and in you today, He will never leave you. If once God has said to you, your sins are forgiven, He will never say to you, you are guilty, so depart to the lake of fire. We sing about this in Psalm 138. The work thou hast for me begun shall by thy grace be fully done. God is faithful to His word and work to all eternity. This beautiful teaching here in Philippians 1 verse 6 that God preserves each of His people for a life of service until the end when they will be glorified with Christ agrees with the teaching of the entire Bible. The Bible tells us about God's faithfulness which will never be removed, Psalm 89 verse 33. It tells us of life that will never perish, John 3 verse 16. It tells us of a gift that will never be lost, John 6 verse 37. It tells us of a chain that will never be broken, Romans 8, 29 and 30. It tells us of a hand which is so strong that no one can ever be plucked out of it, John 10 verse 28. It tells us of a love from which we can never be separated, Romans 8 verse 39. It tells us of a calling that will never be revoked, Romans 11 verse 29. It tells us of a foundation that will never be destroyed, 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. Of an inheritance that will never fade away, 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5. Of a Savior who prays for us, Father, keep them as I have kept them, John 17 verse 11. It tells us of a God who promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13 verse 6. It tells us of a people who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, 1 Peter 1 verse 5. This is the beautiful truth here. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sadly, today, many Bible teachers are presenting it quite differently. And as they do that, they not only deny what God's Word teaches very clearly, but they take away the comfort of God's Word from His people. They will teach that the work of salvation begins not by God's will, but by man's choice. They say that a person, once saved, can fall away from grace. They teach that our justification is dependent partly on what Christ has done for us and partly what we do ourselves. If you ask them, can a true Christian perish? They say, maybe. We cannot know. But the Bible says, I am confident that a true believer cannot perish, for where God has begun a good work, He will bring it to completion. How can we be so sure of this? The answer is in the verse here. We come to this confidence not by looking at ourselves, but by looking at God and His character. That's where Paul here directs our attention. He, God, who has begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our reference point for our confidence is God. That's where we should look for this assurance. Today, too many people look at themselves. They will speak of the day that they accepted Jesus into their heart. They talk about what they have done for the Lord. They're confident that they will go to heaven because, after all, they're good people. And sadly again, this is what teachers in the churches are telling them. But look at what Paul does here. He directs us to look at God, whose work salvation is, and to look at Jesus, whose day is coming. Who is the one who begins the work of salvation in us? Who is God? What is He like? How does God do this work? Do you know this God? Do you make an effort to learn from His Word about Him? You see, the foundation for our salvation is in God and who He is and what He has done and not us. Theology, that is the knowledge and the study of God, is important. It's the foundation of our salvation. Jesus says in John 17 verse 3 that to know God is life eternal. And if we do not know God, then we will not live to eternity. So who is God? And how does my knowledge of God bring me to a confidence concerning my salvation? Well, first, God is eternal. As the eternal God, He planned all things. In eternity, He chose, He elected those who would be His. Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. In His eternal plan, God had a purpose and an end in view. That purpose was to glorify Jesus Christ and to save all His people in Christ. Our confidence is founded on the eternal God. Then second, God is unchangeable. His eternal plan cannot be changed. He says in Isaiah 46 verse 10, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my good pleasure." Because God cannot change, none of those whom He has eternally chosen can ever perish. John 10 verse 28. Our confidence is founded on the unchangeable God. Then third, God is sovereign. He is the all-powerful God. No one can stand in the way of the purposes of God. Not the devil, not the world, and not my sinful nature. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" Daniel 4 verse 35. His grace is powerful, irresistible. His work is irreversible. His promises are eternal and sure. Our confidence is founded in the sovereign God. Then fourth, this God is a God who loves His chosen people. The love of God is His permanent commitment to them. He is a husband who will never divorce His wife. He is a father who will never forsake His children. He is a shepherd who will always go after His sheep to bring them back into the fold. Our confidence is founded in the love of God. So look to God. That's what Paul is saying here. And then also, look to Christ. He, that is God, will perform this work till the day of Jesus Christ. Now the apostle could have written, till the day that you die, or he could have said, till the end of the world, but instead he says, till the day of Jesus Christ. Why does he put it that way? Because he has in mind the day when Christ will be glorified before all, when every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The day when the church in heaven will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing forever." In that day, all the credit and all the glory for God's greatest work, the work of salvation, will go to Christ. That's why Paul calls it the day of Jesus Christ. It will not be a day in which we will receive a reward because we've earned it, or because we've done the right things, or because we've lived a good life. No, all glory for salvation will go to Christ. And He will have glory on that day because He kept His word, because He accomplished the work that God gave Him to do, because He finished His work by bringing every one of those for whom He gave His life into glory, so that not one of them will perish. So looking to God who has done this work in us, and looking ahead to the day of Christ's glory, every true believer in the world today may be confident of his salvation, of his place in glory with Christ. Our confidence does not come from looking at ourselves and who we are or what we have done, but looking to God. And as our faith looks heavenward, God's word does not leave us to doubt or wonder about our salvation. Satan wants us to doubt and waver in our faith, but God says, I have begun a good work in you. I will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. If you truly believe and trust in Jesus Christ today, that's the confidence that you may have until the end. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy sovereign grace that has worked in us a knowledge of our need of Jesus, that gives us a living faith, that brings us assurance of Thy love. We pray that as Thou hast promised, we may be kept in our faith till the day of Jesus Christ, in uncertainties and in the face of opposition, so that in the end, all glory in heaven and on earth may be to Him whose day that will be. Amen.